Welcome to another episode of the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Jules Miniker, and I am in the studio with Spencer Matalitis, a.k.a. Spenny, from This Is The Deal. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
So you're a man of many hats, and you work in pretty much every part of the business side of music. Let's walk through some of the various titles you hold.
Well, let's go back to my main job at This Is The Deal. Yeah, so that's an accounting firm mm-hmm. for the entertainment industry, everyone in the entertainment industry. But we, I'd say we mostly focus on music because about 85% of our clients work somewhere in the music industry. We have bands, record labels, managers, producers, everything you could possibly think of. We even down to monitor techs and merch guys.
Yeah.
And within that, we also have a record label that does purely digital distribution worldwide. So, and we're called B1 Music. And then there's also a kids TV show in the same office called Cool Babies, which is still being worked on at the moment. And that's the music part of it. And the actual TV show will be called Groovetown, I believe. It's for children, like infants. And it's just basically not boring music. It's not like, whatever Barney sings these days. And
okay. Cookie Monster. Step Up from Sesame Street.
Yeah, yeah. But parents can enjoy it and expose kids to new music. We have like punk songs and reggae songs. And so, yeah, there's that. And then I tour with this band called X Ambassadors from time to time, just selling their merch. I do tour management. I manage a couple artists at the moment. Dylan Riche, and in talks with this other girl from Montreal, who I won't give her any free exposure until she signs on the dotted line. Exactly. I don't show all my cards.
Nice.
But yeah, there's that. What else do I do? God, I'm in a band.
Yeah.
So, which is the beauty of our accounting firm too, because everyone, my boss is a drummer. He manages artists. I do all my stuff. Our admin gal's a makeup artist / photographer. And a painter, and then we have another girl who does admin, she does theater work. Yeah, we're all over the place there, so.
So it's got to be your fifth job if you're starting at This Is The Deal.
Yeah, pretty much, but then it becomes your main job.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's taxes, and that's really, I don't know, it's important.
Yeah, it can be dry, but you know, everybody loves money, so it's worth putting in the work and the thinking, right? Yeah. Yeah, and actually, going back to what you said earlier about how the company's main focus is music, it kind of makes sense because of all the artistic branches, nobody is producing on the same scale as music. Like, if you're writing books, you're maybe releasing one a year. If you're making films, it's the same deal. If you're making music, you're like writing a dozen songs a year and nobody gives a shit.
Oh, yeah, totally, man. And I mean, I guess a lot of people think that every market's oversaturated, but I don't want to say music's oversaturated too much, but there's a lot out there. Especially with today. Like, the thing I always say is that MySpace and Napster combined ruined the music industry. Just because Napster with the, you know, everyone can get free downloads at MySpace, like now any idiot can have a band.
Yeah.
With free promo.
Yeah, and it's something we've talked about with a lot of our musical guests, but I'm sure you'd have an even greater understanding of this, is that right now music production is at a point where it's been completely blown open. You don't need a label, you don't need a studio, you need like a laptop and a guitar and you can make a song. You don't really even need a guitar, really. Mm. So that oversaturation is coming from the fact that there is literally nothing holding you back from releasing something that you call music.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's not to say that there's artists and acts of any kind out there that, you know, use all these things to their advantage. And I'm not saying like they're an idiot for doing that, because they're geniuses. They're fucking geniuses. They should totally take a hold of that. But yeah, it's very accessible, which is great, because I mean, you can have a band on a budget easily. Like, my band's currently recording in my buddy's house, and he's a member of our band. And it's just super easy. And yeah, I've seen some home studios that are better than most like real studios.
Yeah. Well, and that's the trade up too, right? Is that you can have amazing musicians who are unable to release professionally recorded material because they're broke. But you also have like anyone who wants to just arbitrarily call themselves a band can also record and release stuff on the same level of easiness.
Yeah. And to that note, I mean, like, with our quote unquote label, which is, like I said, just purely distribution, that does have a big advantage to it. Because, I mean, you can do it, like you said, on your own. But for us anyway, we find, like, if a band just goes out there, unless you know you're just going to be selling record after record after record, most, they're called DSPs, which is digital service provider, which doesn't make sense all the time. But, like, Grooveshark, Spotify, there's a bunch of indie ones, iTunes, those are all fall under the term DSP. And they don't pay out, they don't cut you a check until you made $50 and more. But for, like, our label, because we have so many artists, we get that check earlier because they're like, oh, this label has made more than $50. Mm. So here's the check. And then we kind of put that all into your pool, take our cut. And once you've made $50 or more, then we cut you a check.
Yeah.
That's basically how it goes.
Do you think that being signed with you is lending credibility to the artists, like, who are, as opposed to releasing it themselves or submitting it themselves to these providers?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you're going for. Because there's a lot of bands who are just like, fuck labels. And I just go, why? And like, I signed a shitty deal when I was 20 and they fucked me. I'm like, cool. Did you read the contract? Yeah.
like, did you think?
No. I'm like, did you pay for a lawyer? No. Well, there's your issue. But for us, I mean, like, we just, what I do is I sit down. Our contract is one page. Actually, wait. No, it's two pages. But it's laid out super. Like, I mean, there's not really any lawyer jargon in there, but it's like, I made it so that it's very easily understandable, and I explained to the artist exactly everything. And before they signed it, I mean, as an artist myself, I guess I would appreciate that. I'm like, okay, so this is what this is. Do you have any questions? Please let me know. I don't want you to sign a deal that you're going to go, oh, what the fuck? Even though it's literally pretty much just bare bones, like, you give us this, we give you this. This is what we do. This is what you do.
We'll take this percentage, and yeah, that's cool or it's not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Taxes are something that is relevant, especially this time of year, and there are a lot of things that bands can do to file taxes as a band. Now, do they need to be registered as a business, or how does it work to be an entity like a band and file taxes?
Oh, it's relatively the same thing as, like, just any business. Like, this is the way you got to think about it. It's just, it's weird, and the government doesn't really understand what the fuck we're talking about half the time. So those are the, that's like the, pretty much the only issue that I can think of. But yeah, like what we, you don't have to be registered as a business. There's certain, we have certain artists who aren't that big that come to us for their taxes and we help them write it off. That's the only money they make, but they're not registered as, you know, whatever. Let's say you were a solo artist. It wouldn't be Jules Miniker, whatever, yeah. Not an Inc, because I mean, there's incorporation, but not every band's incorporated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the government actually never wants you to incorporate because they make more money if you do it the sole proprietor
or
partnership. Yeah. That's something a lot of people don't know. That's, I get asked that question a lot. Like, should I incorporate? I'm like, well, do you want to pay, depending on how much, what your tax bracket is. Like if you're making like, I don't know, $500,000, $600,000 a year as a band as your top line, then you're probably going to lose about 40% of that. Or I mean, like you have all your expenses and then it's 40% of your revenues after that, your income, rather, that goes to the government. Whereas with corporate taxes, it's like 20%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty twisted.
Yeah.
So, like, without getting too dry, what is...
We're talking about taxes here.
I know, right?
There's no, but you like, can only go up.
What would a band's tax return look like? Like, I know that, you know, if you're touring, you're bringing in money, that's great. But, like, do you have to declare the money you made selling merch? Or what's the benefit of, like, what's the return, basically, of filing taxes as a band?
Well, I mean, it, like for the artists that we've worked with, like the smaller ones are like, wow, I feel like this is an actual business. Like I'm actually doing something. I'm an adult.
So it's almost like a confidence booster more than maybe a financial one.
I've found, but I mean, like it can help you if, say, your band suffered a loss or you suffered a loss from running the band, but you have an actual job on the side where you're getting a T4. So you've been paying into taxes all year round. It'll bring down your top line, and then all that, all the tax you've paid throughout the year is now too much. So you get a bigger tax return back. But that's only if you've gotten a loss. You can write off all this stupid stuff you buy, all the meals you have with to entertain clients or whatever. There's certain items of clothing you can write off and stuff like that. And it just makes you, I guess, feel like, you know, you didn't waste your money on buying a $5,000 guitar or amp. Something like that.
But you can like write off your stage clothes as
it were. Well, the rule for the CRA for clothing is that it has to be a uniform or a costume.
Oh, so if you've got like a uniform band tee or whatever, that could be written off.
Oh, totally. I mean, it depends. Like if you can justify it, then you can if you can justify that it was totally a business expense and this absolutely will help propel your business to the next level, then it will, then it's just legitimate. That's, you can write it off and I don't give a fuck. I will write it off for you.
Yeah.
But you were talking about band's gear getting stolen. Yeah. You know, I've actually never dealt with that on the tax level, but
because you'd have to buy replacements and you're talking about a significant loss. Like that's the most significant one I could think of.
Yeah.
Aside from maybe committing to a tour and not making any money. I guess that's more what you were thinking.
Yeah. I mean, that happens all too often. I've seen some bands, they lose tour support and like, or they just, promoters get fucked them over. But yeah, there's definitely, I've never actually dealt with that with any of my clients as of yet. But I mean, once I look at the situation, I can always figure something out. And like my boss is like, the founder of the company is way more versed in that kind of stuff too. So we just butt heads. We just put our heads together and figure out the best plan for our client. And it's still punk rock because, you know, fuck the government. I didn't like sell it. Out all you people.
Got to keep that legitimacy.
Yeah, I'm still punk rock.
Nice. Now, would you say there's any, I guess, risk associated with filing taxes as a band? Or is it like you're definitely going to get something, maybe it just won't be much? Well, or are there really cases where, like, you shouldn't be filing?
Well, I mean, the government wants you to file all the time, and I want your business, so you should definitely file all the time.
You're not going to talk potential clients out of coming.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, man. Like, I mean, the government wants you to claim all your cash income, and obviously that's hard to trace sometimes. But there are a lot of companies out there who do paycheck for performances. So I mean, there's a paper trail, so you should definitely be claiming that, and you can write off like the taxi you took to get there, then like, you know, any gear rental, and then it just makes it that much more legitimate. And doing good bookkeeping with your band, it absolutely tells you like, oh, am I being an idiot with how much money I'm spending on this band?
Yeah.
Like, I've met, like, even booking shows, I've met bands who are like, I did a door deal this one time. I'll leave the band's name out of it. But, because they really pissed me off that night and I don't want to talk shit. But, I issued an advance. I told them exactly what was going down. I laid everything out, dollar by dollar, and whatever. And then they brought out a total of, like, I think 15 people.
Yikes.
Yeah, seven of which who were on guest list, or it was like something like nine. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I gave them a 5-person guest list, and they put 9 people on it, and like, well, it was $5 cover, so like, we'll pay for that out of our cut. I'm like, okay, right.
Dude,
on.
Your cut is -$5. Like, pay me.
Yeah, so like, push came to shove. I think about we broke even at that show, plus $25. And I was
put
just,
on shows like that. It's hard.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like I was kind of new to the city and I was just like, okay, whatever. Or I had just started throwing shows again too. And it was like, okay, cool. Well, just let you know, guys, we only broke even plus $25. And,
double cheeseburgers all around.
Yeah, exactly. The two out of town bands were like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Because they were just like there just to play a show because they were relatively new bands. This other band just started cussing me out. They're like, you always pull through. You owe us money. I'm like, no, you owe me money. Like, you just wasted my time. Like, you guys always pull. You guys are the ones. I was like, it's a door deal. Yeah. How are you expecting me to pay you money that I do not have?
And really, and, like, the whole, like, I can't afford $5 cover excuse is so weak.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, you put four people. You put all friends on your guest list. I'm sorry. Then your friends are assholes. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've done that before. I've totally done that before. I'm an asshole.
What's coming for it. Like,
yeah.
Coming from it. Like, I'm sure when you put everyone you knew on the guest list, you weren't like, I'm going to get so rich on this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, exactly. Like, I mean, but it just really pissed me off. I'm like, oh, but we all took separate cabs there. I'm like, that's your own damn fault.
Yeah, and pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, like, so that's what I'm saying. Back to, like, if you have bookkeeping and you just keep track of all of this, you'll be like, okay, cool. I'm spending way too much money here, or I'm not spending enough money here, or move this money around, or yeah, maybe I'll quit smoking and then I'll save $300 a month
for that month that it lasts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Busted.
Yeah. I've quit smoking for 2 days.
Yeah.
Before.
That'll happen.
It's because I was in I was asleep the whole time.
Got me sweating blood. You got me sweating blood all over them sheets. Things you say in bed make my heart run cold. There's this look in your eyes make me feel so old. You're like a debt I never can collect. You're like a life sentence I'll always go. Always good and spare. And I see you smile with my hands around your neck. I see you crack that little grin with my fingers around your neck. Ain't coming back, ain't coming back no more, babe. I ain't coming back no more, babe. I ain't coming back no more, babe. I'll be back tomorrow. Dogs are out for you, girl, but they're on the wrong track. In case they ever take you away, you carve your name in my back. It's or rub on down your cheeks and those crocodile teeth. You ever poor mama's worst fear? I can't tell if we make love or just make hate, but seeing you happy is more than I can, more than I can take. You're like the sickness I just can't shake. You're like a disease you know I can't fake. Ain't coming back, ain't coming back no more, babe. I ain't coming back no more, babe. I ain't coming back, ain't coming back no more, babe. I'll be back tomorrow. Neighbors keep hearing your screams from my floor. I need a doctor cause I'm just so sick of it all. I need a preacher to save my mortal soul. And what you say when they drag me away is so untrue. One way or another I'm always in cuffs. I'm always in cuffs with you. You know what I call makes me sweat blood like you do. I don't wanna sweat no blood with any other girl but you. Oh girl, you know I want you so bad. Want you, I need you, can't have you, I got you alone. I'll be back tomorrow.
Let's move on from the tax situation.
Yeah, let's go to some exciting stuff. Let's do this, Jules.
Yeah, life on the radio. The road.
Yeah, life on the road. God,
that's a big can of worms, and you've experienced that from pretty much every angle there is, I think.
Yeah. Relatively, I've tour managed, I've booked and booked tours, and been doing merch. I've played. Oh God, I don't want to get into too. I have too many stories about me playing.
Well, we'll cover that, and we'll cover your new band. But first of all, one of the things we talked about off air that I'm really curious to hear is, as a road manager and a touring musician, I'm sure you've seen all kinds of really interesting creative merch out there. And like I was saying off the air, it used to be this like CD T-shirt hoodie. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And now there's all kinds of stuff. What's some of the most creative merch you've seen, and who's been making it?
That's a tough one, too. I've seen, like, some pretty wild stuff. I mean, there's the tote bags thing. So that's not wild. But I think a lot of bands are starting to do, like, bracelets I've seen. You know, pins are starting to come back. Like, people are starting to do pins again, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It patches too, but
Kitsch never really went away.
It's like the old black and white T-shirt.
Yeah,
that never died.
Mm. Well, that's the cheapest way to do it, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. I used to print merch, right? So there you go. But let's see. You know what? The Misfits have always had some really cool merch.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, they've been around since this. Late 70s, I believe.
And they're still touring. I mean, not with any of the original members.
Well, but Jerry only is the only original member. Yeah. I think Jerry, I think one of the other dudes joined again. I can't remember. My buddy just got off the road with him when he was telling
me. But not Danzig.
No. Let's not even go there.
There was one band, I forget who it was, but it's resoundingly been one of the most creative forms of merch I've seen from a band. And that was a pack of Zigzags.
Yes,
that they printed a custom label that was their band's name in the style of the Zigzag logo. That was pretty
right.
Cool.
Yeah. I've seen stuff like that. I've seen condoms.
Yeah,
which was cool.
Hopefully not stencil pointed. Like
no, I mean They're not like quality condoms. They're like you went to the dollar store and got these.
Yeah.
Don't so use this.
Not to use.
Yeah.
Maybe to wear, but as a fashion accessory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't trust that thing. That's that's you're spending $5 on this condom and you're going to be spending thousands after you have that child.
You got to balance before and after.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Those condoms are the reason I'm scared to go back to the States on tour.
Oh, geez.
We'll see.
Yeah. Road babies aplenty.
God, I hope not. No one, I haven't gotten any phone calls, but
yeah.
I also never really had a stage name back then, I think.
Hey.
It's also the same as my real name, but I told them all it was a stage name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go by Spencer.
Don't look me up.
Hey, I just told them my real name was my middle name, which is Elgudis. And so, yeah, it's like, fuck.
Try and spell that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, try and find me. Yeah. Try.
Unfacebookable. Yeah. You cracked the code.
Unless, like, as long as they weren't Lithuanian, they could figure it out.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure it out, rather.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. Yeah, merch. It's the same with anything. You got to get more creative.
Mm.
You always got to get more creative. You have to top that last person. I mean, if you, I don't know, do you watch the X Games?
No.
At all? Okay. Well, I mean, I don't really either that much, but I see like highlights and you see these crazy tricks that have never been done before with BMX and like skateboarding. And you know what? Like everything in the X Games and the Winter X Games, like people are just taking it to the next level, which is what you always got to do because people are going to get bored with complacency.
Yeah. And that's another thing with the saturation of the market right now is just with bands. Like it's not enough to be a good band. You have to be a good band who's different from everyone else. Because even like amazing rock bands are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, but it's true.
I've never been in either a good band or a different band. So,
well,
I was in a hardcore band in like high school and a punk band and a, like, I don't know, I guess you'd call it an emo band.
Yeah.
But I was in a few different bands. But
well, and good is like such a relative thing too. Because like, for a lot of people, a good punk band is like with the gain higher than anyone else.
Right? Yeah, and just like you can miss barely legible. There's a bunch of drunk idiots on stage. Yeah.
I'm louder than you. My band is better.
What was it? Yeah, pretty much. What was it Fat Mike said the best punk bands are the worst ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's because they're the most quote unquote punk rock, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I mean, like, if we want to go historically, like, punk rock was created out of this scene of like highly proficient, highly technical, highly produced artists, like the likes of Led Zeppelin and shit. And other people were like, well, I'm never going to be that good, but I sure like hitting my guitar with the stick. So I'm going to fucking like turn up the distortion and let it rip.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I can only play down strokes and power chords. Yeah. Let's do this.
Hey,
this
now you're talking about my guitar abilities.
Yeah, we should start a band, man.
Called Campfire, because that's the only place we'll ever play.
Yeah. There won't be anybody else there. It'll just be me, you, and the marshmallows will just melt because they don't want to hear it anymore.
So let's talk a little bit beyond life on the road, just management in general. There's a lot of, we sort of touched on it earlier, like how a lot of people are just like, assume that being on a label is a bad thing, and I feel like there's some of that same friction with having a manager. What would you say are some of the ups and downs of having a professional person managing your band as opposed to you doing it yourself?
Mm. Okay, well, it's like I always say to my clients at the tax firm. It's your job to write killer tracks and rock the fuck out on stage, and you let somebody else take care of all that boring shit, like me. Yeah. I'm a very boring individual, and
who's also in a band. So
yeah. So I can I wear both hats in that situation. Yeah, it's just it's good to have a manager just because then you can focus on your music and they can take care of everything else. But you have to be working with someone who's very professional too. I've had to deal with a few managers who do not get back to your email for like 2 weeks, if at all.
Oh my God.
So it gets really annoying when they asked you to email them because like, I need to hire you. Email me tomorrow. And then you're just like, I haven't fucking heard from you. And then you have to contact the band and be like, this is fucking bullshit.
Let's talk about blue tattoos and pocket clocks and slips off the tongue, cause girl, I've seen it all and I'm convinced that right now I'm stuck on you. Oh yes, I'm whipped. I wonder if I'll leave Sydney with as many friends as I started with.
Be the most fucking gorgeous girl that I've ever met.
What's your name?
My name is...
That's fine. I've told so many tales to cover up secrets, so don't even look at me, I can no longer be your best. I'd love to sit around and tell tales of self-sacrifice, but let's just forget I said anything, just forget. Think about the future and pretend they'll play this at my funeral and you won't know till then. You're better off without me, my friend. I said you're better off without me, my friend. I like to think about the productivity of a melodramatic verse. Doesn't make you want to kiss me, and thus no purpose does it serve. Makes me feel a little selfish without your voice, it starts to hurt. So look in your eyes, and it's no surprise I consider my lesson learned. Let's talk about blue tattoos and exactly when I fell, because you cannot be a prophet of doom in hell. And now I await the final death now, and it's murder one if you just think about it, girl.
The thing is, I always find people will start out, like bands will start out or artists, and they're like, I need a manager. And I'm like, no, you need to figure out how to make money before you start spending money. Mm. So once, like, I mean, as soon as you get to a certain point where you're like, I can't handle this on my own, but I know this is going to get bigger and harder to handle, that's when you get a manager.
Yeah. And what do you think about, I mean, from the bands that I've met, a lot of the time, it seems like the person that chooses their manager is either like somebody's girlfriend or like a buddy of the guys in the band who doesn't play music.
Or a momager or a dadager who always think they're entitled to free booze. As a promoter, I fucking hate that. My dad doesn't even show up to the shows and he'll be like, yeah, is there free booze? And I'm like, I haven't talked to you in 3 months and you just asked me to come out to... No.
It's something that I'm sure a lot of bands deal with, and especially new bands and young bands will not really have any idea like what the manager should be asking, like what is fair for them to ask in terms of compensation. Because some, you know, you hear about artists who are like completely taken for a ride by whoever's running them and like keeping 85% or something like
that. Oh, God,
or...
I hope not. That would suck. Yeah. A good tax write-off, but other than that. No, I'd say like good compensations, usually between 10 and 20%, depending on how much money you're making. Where they're taking the cut, too, is a big factor. Which is another beauty of my firm is like we look over these contracts for people, too, and we'll do it cheaper than a lawyer. Because we'll do all the numbers too.
Look over or like write up as well.
We do write up contracts as well.
Excellent.
And we can do all the numbers and all that, so it makes us better than a lawyer. But in my opinion, I'm probably not better than any lawyer. I am a
shithead.
Totally
unbiased.
Yeah. So just basically, I'd say like I've seen some deals where they'll take 15%. After expenses or 20% after expenses, but I've also seen deals where they'll take 20% off the top, which, I mean, either works. It depends on how much money you're making.
If you're paying taxes.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if you're a smaller artist, definitely do it after expenses. Or, I mean, the manager won't do it after expenses if you're a smaller artist. But, yeah, it would just realistically, it's like looking at the numbers and what makes sense for both of you. And is this guy getting paid what he's worth? That's the whole deal. Like, what is he actually doing for you? Because I've seen people sign management deals and the manager does dick. Like, they're like, yep, yeah, I'm your manager.
Yeah.
That's it. And like, every time you play a show, even though I had nothing to do with it, just give me money. So I find in Canada it's a lot more laid back than it is in the States.
Yeah.
I mean, in Canada there's also a fuck ton of grant money.
Yeah, I think the at least on a federal level, I don't know about the other levels of government, but it seems like Canada is really big on supporting the arts, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, I think it's like Canada and Sweden who do that or something. I'm not sure there's one European country, so don't, I mean, you can put that on the radio.
Them Swedes.
Like in the States, I find it gets a lot more cutthroat too, because they're just like, no, we need to make all the money possible. Mm. And people are just much better hustlers down there, and it makes them that much more respected, I guess. And up here, like, there's a DBA status, which is direct board approval. And so, like, Factor just kind of, I'm not sure exactly about the process, but from my understanding, it's like Factor just looks at it and like, oh, sweet. Stamp. Yeah. And then
you're a band. We like you. Here's some money.
Yeah. But not to talk shit about Factor, because if I ever got Factor money, I probably wouldn't be. I wouldn't be like, oh, fuck those guys. Fuck their money, right? And I find a lot of artists do that, too. Like, oh, that's so stupid. I'm like, well, if you got the money, you wouldn't think it was stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got to kind of look at it from...
Are there really people out there who are down on Factor? I mean, I can't imagine that being anything but good.
Yeah, it's mostly just, like, people who aren't getting the money. That's what I find. So, like
bitter
hearts. I get it. It should be for more small-time artists and helping build this industry in Canada. And that's what it was established for. But now I see bigger artists who are making, who just get Factor money, and they'll just be like, I guess we'll record an album. Yeah, why not?
Now we can make a really, really nice single.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, no, it's just I've seen some bad stuff come out of it. And I find a lot of Canadian music doesn't actually... Unfortunately, it doesn't actually, get much past these borders because of the sound, and it's not as edgy or as, it doesn't have that X factor that certain other bands have from, like, the States or whatever. Mm. So it's hard for them to break it into that market. And, like, you look at some bands that are from up here and compared to the bands in the States, and you're like, oh, no wonder we have CanCon, because these bands are just like, sweet, I gotta fucking hustle. Mm. Well, they're not... saying sweet about that. They're just like, fuck, I gotta hustle.
Yeah. Gotta work to be part of that percentage.
Yeah, which is funny too. Like, I find it funny because Toronto and Montreal are two biggest live markets in all of North America. So it's weird that, it's like not that cutthroat. All these bands are just clamoring to get into here because there's so much money to be made in Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah.
For a touring band.
So let's talk a little about contact info, because you've given a lot of useful information, and I'm sure you have a lot more to share with bands and artists out there. Tell us about how to get in touch with This Is The Deal.
Get in touch with This Is The Deal? Well, I mean, I'm not going to throw my number up there. But I'm generally on the email every day, and like I get an email on my phone, so anyone can just email me at... Spencer@titdink.com. I'm not even joking. It's TITDINC.com. And yeah.
I can't tell if that was like really poor or really exquisite forethought.
I didn't even think of it. That's I can't even comment on that.
Just deal with it and move on.
Yeah, this is the deal. So anyone can email me at Spencer@titdink.com. Even for the B1 music stuff, if people are looking for distribution, I'll just link it to my other email.
Well, Spencer, thank you so much for coming out. And
dude, thanks so much for having me, man.
Absolutely. This has been another episode of the Roundtable Podcast. I am your host, Jules Miniker. And if you would like to submit a song, book an interview, or just tell us how much you love us, you can do so at indieroundtable@gmail.com. That's indieroundtable@gmail.com.
And feel free to email Jules and tell him how sexy my voice sounds.
Hey.
His voice is way better on the radio. Have awesome. A good night, kids.
Cheers.
Good! Cross no cops and you can forget about past your blind devices. awful smart. You don't like us, you're a useless part of a fake machine. You're busters. We'll see no threat and tell no lies. Back in line, we'll have no